to the biggest book in the Bible, the book of Psalms, right in the middle of your Bible. And we'll go to Psalms chapter 1. This will be familiar verses. I think some of you are actually memorizing this psalm this summer. Psalms chapter 1, it's just a short psalm, only 6 verses long. And once again, I want you to listen to the benefits and the value of meditating, memorizing, hiding God's word in our heart by way of exercise. Psalms chapter 1, we're going to read the entire psalm. Again, it's only 6 verses long. Blessed, happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. What a tremendous digression. When you begin to stand with sinners, you'll eventually begin hanging out with them, and when you hang out with them, you're going to find yourself seated at their tables, going in their direction. Blessed is the man who does not go that way. But verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. What you treat as precious becomes precious to you. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. Sounds like Joshua 1:8. Not so the wicked. Here's the comparison. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows around. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Here in Psalms 1, the one who meditates on God's word day and night, he is compared to a tree. And this tree is planted by streams of water, and it produces fruit, and it prospers. They're planted, they're solid, they're stable, they're not blown around. Their way is the way of righteousness, making them able to stand in judgment. Again, these sound like promises far more than just not sinning. These sound like great reward. These verses speak of success and strength and courage and fruitfulness and perseverance and endurance and righteousness. You're in Psalms. Let's go to Psalms 119. That's where our verse was taken from, where we began this morning. Psalms 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, and the entire chapter is fixated on the Word of God. It's also an alphabetical chapter in that every paragraph or every section begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I want to look at verses 9 through verse 16, because it's verse 11 where we had our verse where we started this morning, but I want to read the entire paragraph for you. Psalms 119, beginning in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? There's only one way promised here. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Even in this psalm where we hear those familiar words of hiding God's word in our heart will keep us from sin, there are additional benefits to hiding God's word in our heart and meditating on it. We keep our way pure and we live according to his word. Flip over one more book to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. I warned you in advance that we were going to look at a variety of scriptures. I think this is the last one I'll have you turn to. Proverbs 22. In Proverbs 22 and verse 17, the Holy Spirit through the author here says, pay attention. Pay attention and listen to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart. Sounds like Psalms 119. It is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have them ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I teach you today, even you. Have I not written 30 sayings for you, sayings of counsel and knowledge, teaching you true and reliable words so that you can give sound answers to him who sent you? Proverbs chapter 22 promises another blessing of hiding God's word in our heart and having it on our lips, and it's the blessing that you trust, that your trust may be in the Lord your God. That sounds like Romans 10. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing by God's word. So another blessing of hiding God's word in our heart is not just sinning, and not just prosperity and success and doing God's will, but it's the matter so that our trust might be in the Lord. As we hide God's word in our heart, memorizing it, meditating on it, God the Spirit is able to use that to build and strengthen our faith. There's a whole lot of verses that we could look at that speak to and give us instruction and counsel on the benefits and the advantages of the exercise of hiding God's word in our heart, memorizing it, meditating on it. There's a lot of scripture that we could turn to. I'm skipping over many passages. I'll take you to one more. I won't have you turn there. In the New Testament, Philippians 4, 8, and 9, up on the screen, it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Memorizing God's word, meditating on it, having it in our hearts, having it on our lips, the promise is the God of peace will be with you, and God's peace will rule in your heart and lives. So as we look at these scriptures this morning, scripture memory isn't just for putting off sin, as valuable as that is as it relates to our godliness. And scripture memory and scripture meditation isn't just for storing up information in our brains so that we might face temptation sometime in the future and be successful. That's another thing that we often think about. You know, Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he quoted scripture, and in quoting scripture, he defeated Satan. So memorizing scripture isn't just for storing things in our brain so that at some time in the future, if we face temptation, we'll be successful. It is that, but it's more than that. Scripture memory, scripture meditation has the positive impact of influencing our minds and lives today and conforming our thoughts and our behaviors after God and God's word and God's will. Scripture memory, the exercise of it and the discipline of it, scripture memory and scripture meditation isn't for something that might come at us later down the road. It is for our thoughts and our attitudes and our lives and our responses right now. David Mathis, in his book entitled Habits of Grace, said, "Memorization and meditation contributes powerfully in the present, making us the kind of person who walks in the Spirit today. The person who walks in the Spirit is the person who walks in the Word, for the Spirit is the author of the Word. To know the Word is to know the Spirit, and to know the Spirit is to know the Word. Walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit isn't some mysterious, ethereal, out there thing. It comes from a mind and an emotions and attitudes and activities that are in conformity to God's Word. That person is the one who walks in step with the Spirit." So practically speaking, memorizing God's word, meditating on it, these practices have inevitable consequences on our soul right now. Consequences of invaluable benefit for our godliness and our training in godliness. One commentator, when I was reading up on this, on the value and benefits and the practices of memorizing God's word and meditating on it, one commentator said, you know, the biggest pushback on memorizing scripture and the biggest hurdle and the biggest obstacle as it relates to memorizing scripture is people will say, you know, I just don't have a brain for it. I just don't have a good mind that goes along with memorizing scripture, and I just really can't do it. I'm not wired that way. And he said, it's amazing how that would change if they were offered $1,000 for every verse they memorized in the next 7 days. I'll give you $1,000 for every verse you memorize this next week. Wouldn't that be amazing? I bet I'd have to give away a lot of money. But then he went on to say, the promises of reward in Scripture for memorizing God's word doesn't begin to compare with $1,000 a verse. That's so true. The question really begins with, do we believe the promises in the first place? And do we really value growing in godliness? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What a promise. Having God's word in your mouth and in your heart and on your lips and in your mind, you will think God's thoughts after him. You will know the mind of Christ. What value is that to you? What benefit is that to us as we seek to train ourselves and exercise ourselves and godliness. The practice of memorization literally is the memorizing line upon line, verse upon verse, paragraph upon paragraph, verbatim, if you will. We memorize Scripture word for word and hide it in our heart. The practice of meditation is simply thinking, prolonged thinking about some truth from the mouth of God and rolling it around in our mind long enough to be impacted by its significance and its application. Meditation is an old, old biblical practice. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, where we read about Isaac going out into the field to meditate upon God's word at night. Meditation isn't something new or new age where we go find a happy place and sit in a particular posture and open our hands and think about whatever thought blows our way. Biblical meditation is taking that which God has spoken, thinking it through, prolonged thinking on what God has said so that its implications and its truth really influences not only our thoughts, but our lives and our living. Meditation and memorization therefore go together, kind of one discipline benefiting the other. Well, that's kind of the message this morning. The exercise, we are to train ourselves for godliness. The exercise that we're looking at this morning is the exercise of memorizing God's word and meditating on God's word. I've taken you to a variety of scriptures that support the value and benefit of doing that. And so in a sense, my message from the scripture is done. That's the message from the word, and that's the application of it. But what I'd like to do now is I'd like to share with you now is just some of my opinions, some of my thoughts as it relates to getting started. So you can take these or leave these. You can argue with them, you can debate with them, whatever you'd like. But as if you were to train yourself for a marathon, or if you were to train yourself for a particular activity that you're not doing now, and you went to the gym, begin training, they'd probably say, well, this is how you get started. Here are some things to do. And I want to talk about how do we get started, if I can get this to work again, how do we get started in memorizing Scripture? If we're not doing that now and we want to begin, how do we get started and how do we begin this practice of exercising ourselves this way? First one, I've got six of them. Start small and begin with something rich and familiar. Start small and begin with something rich and familiar. You know, don't grab Ezekiel 17 and say, well, this is where I'm going to start. I'm going to strap this on. I'm going to memorize this. I don't know what this wheel and a wheel in the middle of the air is, but this is the... Now, start with something you almost already know. Psalms 23, the shepherd's psalm. You've heard that psalm dozens upon dozens of times. It's a short psalm. It's a poetic psalm. It's visual. Grab that one. I bet you could easily have it memorized by next Sunday because you're already so familiar with it. Grab just a single verse. As you're doing your Bible reading, as you have your Word of God with you, and as you're exercising yourself and reading it daily, and you come across a particular verse, and it provides encouragement and strength or value and instruction, and you run across it, just write that verse out and memorize that one. Start small and begin with something rich and something familiar. Second, oh, I got a typo in there. Don't work so hard at it. Don't work so hard at it. That sounds funny, doesn't it? When everyone says it's so hard to memorize Scripture, and I come along and say, well, don't work so hard at it. You save big money, where at? You save big money. I save big money at Menards. How do you know that? Because if you're in the store more than 3 minutes, you're going to hear it like 17 times, right? It's constantly going in the background. You save big money at Menards. You don't have to work at memorizing that. It just happens. You drive to work in the morning, you're listening to the radio, and if you listen to a particular station and they introduce a new song and they play that song every morning by the fourth or fifth day, you know what's amazing? You're starting to sing that song and you haven't worked at it at all. There's something to be learned there. If you were to simply take a passage of Scripture and write it out and have it with you, pull it out at breakfast, read it three times and put it away. Pull it out at lunch, read it three times and put it away. Pull it out at dinner, read it three times and put it away. Pull it out before you go to bed, read it three times and pull it away. I'm guessing by the third or fourth day, you won't need the card anymore. It's amazing what your mind can do you don't give it credit for. Your mind can do amazing things. You memorize stuff all the time, and it happens without you working at it. I'm saying it's a value and a benefit to memorize God's word, to hide it in your heart. Don't work so hard on it. Simply write it out. Have it with you and read it regularly. That goes into the next one. Write it out and take it with you. If you're going to begin memorizing scripture, 3x5 cards will be your friend. Or write it on a sheet of paper, or grab some 3x5 cards, write it out, post one on the mirror in your bathroom, throw one on the kitchen counter, and put one in your purse or in your wallet and take it with you. And when you're sitting at the doctor's office waiting for your visit, or you're waiting to get your hair cut, or wherever you go, you can pull that out and just read it over, and just reviewing it that way, you'll find it easily hidden in your heart. Do it with a friend. Do it with a friend. I know there's a Bible memorization group here, and that's fantastic. There's a group of people that get together a couple times a month, and they share their scripture with one another, and that's a great way of doing it. You might do it with an accountability partner. There's value and benefits to accountability partners in some areas, but not in others. If you have a sin issue that you're really wrestling with and you think you want to put that off, an accountability partner is not going to help you out. Because we easily lie to one another. We lie to God, we lie to ourselves. It'll be easy to lie to you. Trying to put off sin and say, well, I'm going to try to put this to death, so I need an accountability partner to hold me accountable, that's hooey. But if you want to memorize scripture, and you've got a particular passage that you're memorizing, and your partner has a particular passage you're memorizing, it's easy to get together and say, hey, I want to hear your passage, how are you doing with your memory? There's an accountability that works. And guess what? When you hide God's word in your heart, you might not sin against him. Accountability is helpful as it comes to memorizing scripture together. It's not so helpful if you're just going to be like, well, I need to stop this sin. Because I come along and say, well, how are you doing with that? I'm doing great. Okay. But hiding God's word in your heart, that's where an accountability can really be helpful. I'm memorizing 1 Corinthians 13. What are you memorizing? Let's do it together. That will be helpful. Have meditation as the expectation. Have meditation be the expectation. Once again, we want to hide, we want to memorize scripture so that we might hide God's word in our heart and have it on our lips, but ultimately we want to have God's word in our heart so that we might think on it in a prolonged way so that it might have its impact upon our mind and our attitudes and our actions. I grew up in Awana. Any Awana graduates? Oh, look, all four of us. Those of us who are Awana graduates, we can't stand it when people call it wrong. So often I hear people like, well, my son or daughter goes to Awanas. There's no S on it. It's not plural. It's Awana. You know what Awana stands for? Approved workmen are not ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15. So it's not Awanas. It's Awana. Anyways, that's my little Awana announcement. In Awana, growing up in Awana, 13 years in that program, we memorized thousands of verses, literally in the thousands. And I'm grateful today for the exercise of growing up in Awana and memorizing verses on that level. But we memorized multiple verses a week to a particular end, and the end was to get a badge and beat our peer. There's really no value and benefit of doing that. I would much rather have you memorize three verses this next year so that you might have them in your heart, so that you might actually meditate on them and have them profoundly impact your life, than memorize 1,000 verses and get a free week of camp. You follow? So have meditation be the goal so that we might know God and think his thoughts after him. And then finally, begin to pray. Begin to pray the text that you memorize. And that gets us into a whole other discipline that we're not there yet. But learning to pray God's word back to him, a phenomenal exercise. Well, I'll close off there with the message this morning, just with some counsel as it relates to getting started in the exercise of memorizing God's word. You know, I was going to have John Glupker come up this morning. He was part of the message, but he's disappeared on me. We got back late in the week, and I didn't contact him. I expected him to be here this morning. He's the one who a couple years ago had it really on his heart of starting a memorization group, and he's done that here, and there's people who join him a couple times a month to memorize Scripture. And so I was going to have him come up and just share with us some of the benefits he's experienced over the last couple years of memorizing Scripture. But I don't know where he's at. He's disappeared. He's gone for the day. So, but there are others here that are part of that group. And again, you don't need to be a part of that group to memorize Scripture. It's something that you can do on your own, something you can do with a friend. But I would encourage you to grab one of them and say, hey, how has memorizing Scripture benefited your life over the last couple of years? And hear firsthand how they've been impacted by memorizing Scripture. Because it's more than just not sinning. There's so much more to it. The blessings and the benefits of it. So I'd encourage you to grab one of them and hear firsthand the value of that. I know a couple years ago when Lynn and I were, last year actually, when Lynn and I were biking across Canada on that trip, multiple days on our bikes, and at that time Lynn was memorizing the book of 1 Peter, which she now has completely memorized, and phenomenal. And she was on, I think, chapter 5 at that time, and so she had most of the book memorized. And when you're on long, lonely stretches of highway and your wife is right behind you on a bike, she would review her verses, and she'd be quoting the entire book of 1 Peter. What a value, how remarkable. She was getting benefited by it, and I was getting benefited by it just by hearing God's word. Absolutely beautiful. When you have sections of Scripture memorized, they're hidden in your heart. You can take them with you. You can meditate on them, and it's amazing what God's Spirit can do with His word that is in your life. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. It is in Your word, written down for our benefit, that You have revealed Yourself, who You are, what You're like, what You do, what You've done, what You've promised to do, what You've promised to be for us. We would not know You apart from Your word. We're grateful for Your Spirit who authored it. We're grateful for the gift of Your Spirit who resides in us, who teaches and counsels and instructs us. May we participate with You in this life. May we participate with You in taking Your word and having it in our heart and thinking it over in our mind, knowing that You are conforming us into Your image. May we participate with You in believing Your promises and taking You at Your word. And Father, as a church, may this just be an exercise that we slowly begin to just to encourage and move one another into this pattern of living in such a way that, like Joshua, like the kings of old, we would have Your word in our heart, on our lips, for Your glory, for our benefit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we have one more message in this series on training ourselves in godliness and specifically exercising ourselves with God's word, and that'll be next Sunday morning.